Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Friday, November 24th. Black Friday is here, and I'm actually recording this while the game is being played between the Jets and Dolphins. So obviously, I won't be covering that on the podcast today, but I will cover the remaining games on this week's slate. Four games out of the way before we even get to the weekend here, to Sunday. But a pretty fun one yesterday, and this game looks like it's going to be entertaining as well. I'm going to start with New Orleans and Atlanta, though. I have it Atlanta 21.4 to 20.7, so a very close game on paper. The Saints will get Derek Carr back for this contest. And honestly, while I think Jameis Winston is arguably better for Chris Olave's value, Derek Carr is better for the overall state of the team. It's a decent matchup, but Carr's really only in play for me in Superflex format. Now, as far as Olave is concerned, he does lead all receivers with 26 targets of 20-plus yards. He's only caught four of them, though, so that connection just hasn't really been there. And I don't expect a massive catch rate. I don't expect him to be catching like 20 out of 26 or anything like that. But I would expect, you know, a slightly higher catch rate than what we're seeing here for Olave. But he's still a wide receiver to play this week in this matchup. Loving Alvin Kamara, 50 catches on the season, 50 catches, and he missed three games due to suspension. He's leading all running backs there. He's a rock-solid RB1 play. Taysom Hill in the top 12, but more of a streamer option for me at tight end. On the other side, we will get Desmond Ridder back in. Honestly, he may be usable in Superflex just because there are so many injuries and in all of these, these backups who are starting. So I have him at quarterback 23. He might be able to slide him in there. Will Arthur Smith continue with where he left off with Bijan Robinson? 22 rushes for Robinson. Topped 100 scrimmage yards. It was the first time he did so since week 4. I want to say yes, but I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to use Robinson cautiously as a back-end RB1. And really, I don't want to use anything else if I can get away with it. Maybe Drake London as a possible flex option, but that's about it here for this game. Moving on to Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, I have Pittsburgh 18.5 to 17.8, another close game on paper here. Divisional matchup, both teams have quarterback issues, but for very different reasons. The quarterback issue in Pittsburgh, lackluster play, obviously the quarterback issue in Cincinnati, no more Joe Burrow. But let's start in Pittsburgh's side. So they got rid of their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, this past week, which was a really essentially an unprecedented move for Pittsburgh. This team does not move on from coaches in the middle of the season. They just don't do it. I saw a stat. It was like the 1940s the last time they did that. So it was that bad. Now, my question is, was the play here for Kenny Pickett the product of Matt Canada, the product of Kenny Pickett, or maybe the product of both? We're going to get that answer here. Obviously, I'm not very high on Pickett at this point. George Pickens was a little banged up earlier in the week, but he's been removed from the injury report. Deontay Johnson, also good to go here as well. There's no issues with him, but I have him as the playable option. Wide receiver 31 for him. Pickens is outside of wide receiver 3 territory. Also, hey, keep in mind, as good as Jaylen Warren looks, and as good as the offense is with him in there, they're averaging 5.5 yards per play with him on the field, only 4.2 with Najee Harris on the field. But overall, Harris is still seeing more snaps, only slightly more, but nothing has changed in this backfield. So it's going to continue to be both guys are flex options. Warren is a higher ceiling but lower floor option. Harris is a higher floor but lower ceiling option. If I had to choose one, it is Warren, but only by 4 spots in my rankings. On the other side, getting a lot of questions about whether or not we can use Ja'Marr Chase with Jake Browning under center. Honestly, it could be a lot worse. Like, I don't think this is going to be a Ben DiNucci situation for the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't want to use Jake Browning in Superflex if I can get away with it, but I think there's enough here to maintain wide receiver 2 value for Ja'Marr Chase, especially with T. Higgins out for this game. I have him at 17 among wide receivers, so yes, I will use him in most instances. And hey, if I have 3 receivers in the top 16, like 3 receivers ahead of him in rankings, I'm probably doing pretty well anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. But in most instances, yes, I would be using Jamar Chase this week. Carolina, Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans 19.6 to 16.1 in projections. So not the best season here for the Tennessee Titans, but Carolina having the worst season so far. And obviously Chicago Bears fans want them to keep losing because they'll get that number one overall pick. There isn't a lot to like here, especially on the Carolina side. Adam Thielen's really the only usable option for me. On the other side, I mean, it's Derrick Henry, it's DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Tajay Spears, because Carolina does allow the second most fantasy points per game to running backs. Opposing backfields averaging 1.4 rushing scores per game against the Panthers. So this is a really good spot for Henry. I have him as a top 10 play. And not a bad spot for Tajay Spears as well. If it's more of a desperation flex play, but I think you could get away with that possibly this week. He's RB37. I have Hopkins at wide receiver 26, so he's a wide receiver 3 play. It's not a bad spot for him. Tampa Bay, Indianapolis, I have Indy 23.5 to 20.3. I got to tell you, I've been so impressed with Baker Mayfield this season, career reviving. He's 16th among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring, and I have him at quarterback 15 this week. So he is in play as a possible streamer option. Obviously, he's got this great connection with Mike Evans. 7 touchdowns this season, actually 4 plays of 40-plus yards. So even in his 10th season in the NFL, Evans still has that big play ability. How about Rashad White? RB20 this week, really nice matchup for him. But what I love the most about him is even in bad games, he's going to be fine in most instances because he's so heavily involved in the passing game. You know, he gets so much done there. Like entering the week, only Kamara and McCaffrey have more catches than him. Kamara has 50 entering the week. I just said that. McCaffrey before last night's game had 43. Rashad White has 41. Like, very good pass catcher. That work really helps his fantasy value. As far as the Colts are concerned, Uncle Rico's back. I actually really like this matchup. I mean, we've seen a couple teams just go off on this Tampa pass defense. C.J. Stroud did it. Brock Purdy did it. Can Gardner Minshew do it? Well, he's got Michael Pittman and Josh Downs will be back for this one. It's a lot of dink and dunk with Pittman, but I don't care. The volume has been fantastic. He has 7 games with 8-plus receptions. That's tied for the league lead. Jonathan Taylor, of course, they took the training wheels off of him when we last saw this team back in Week 10. 23 touches in that game. Pretty impressive. 75-plus scrimmage yards in 3 of his last 4 as well. This isn't an easy matchup, that is, but Taylor's still an elite play. Moving on to New England and the Giants. All right, well, this one's plain and simple. I have New England 17.9 to 14.9, but here's the thing. There's really only 2 playable options in this game, both running backs, Saquon Barkley and Ramondre Stevenson. You might be able to get away with DeMario Douglas as a flex option, but I'm really just focusing in on the 2 running backs. Ramondre Stevenson, 80-plus rushing yards in back-to-back games. Those are his only games with 80-plus rushing yards on the season. But starting to pick things up, I think you could use him as a back-end RB2. Saquon is still a top 10 option. He showed last week, I mean, the ceiling is as high as it ever has been. It was really the best performance we've seen out of him in recent memory. And it was with Tommy DeVito under center. 4 receiving touchdowns on the season for Barkley. He's already just 1 short of a career best on that front. So we're just going to keep rolling with him. I don't expect Tommy DeVito to be as good this week, but obviously he showed a decent ceiling, and that is good for this Giants offense. Actually, in my game picks, I got the Giants winning this one, baby. All right, Jacksonville and Houston. And shockingly, Houston could take the lead in the AFC South with a win in this game. It's wild, man. This is, and I have them win, in projections. They're winning 24.5 to 23.7. It's going to be a close game regardless. A really interesting litmus test game. On the Jacksonville side, Trevor Lawrence coming off of a big performance, and a big part of that, Calvin Ridley. At this point, I hope Ridley managers know what they have on their hands with Calvin Ridley. Essentially, you have a boom or bust player, kind of like a Gabe Davis, where any given week could be quite good or it could be quite bad, and it's rarely going to be in between. Last week was obviously quite good. 100-yard performance. He had 2 receiving touchdowns, and interestingly, he's had 3 100-yard performances on the season. Zay Jones has played in 4 games on the season. 3 of those 4 games were the 100-yard games for Ridley. Is there a connection here? Is this descriptive or is this predictive? I don't know, but I'm going to be keeping a close eye on the usage in this game and seeing if there is any correlation there between Zay Jones being on the field and Ridley's output. Travis Etienne, a top five option, heavy volume, scrimmage yards galore. It's all working for Etienne this season. As far as Evan Ingram is concerned, I'm using him as a top 10 fantasy tight end. However, he doesn't have a touchdown on the season, and he now has the third most receptions through 10 games of a season in NFL history without a touchdown. The only players with more receptions to this point without a touchdown, Reggie Bush had 61 in 2006 with no touchdowns, and Keyshawn Johnson setting the bar high here. This is a DiMaggio-esque number, 76 in 2001. Wow. But Ingram, he has a nice high floor. He just doesn't score touchdowns. On the other side, okay, I don't have a Noah Brown practice report yet, but he didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, so that isn't good for Noah Brown. If he doesn't play, then I'll keep rankings the same. Tank Dell, top 12. Nico Collins, top 24. If he does play, Nico Collins moves down to wide receiver 3 territory, and Brown moves into wide receiver 3 territory. Devin Singletary is RB23. Why, after back-to-back 100-yard games, is he so low? It's because Damian Pierce is almost certainly going to be back for this one, and Bobby Slowick did say they're going to use both of these guys in that offense, so it does put a cap on Singletary's volume, hurts the cause a little bit. Obviously, we're using Dalton Schultz until further notice, and CJ Stroud as well, QB7 for the week. Can't wait for that game. Cleveland-Denver. Surprisingly, both of these teams are not bad. Like, I don't know how Cleveland's record is what it is, but it is. I mean, right now, the Cleveland Browns coming into this game, they're 7-3, and they basically have almost not had Deshaun Watson this season. That's a testament to how good this defense is. And then you look on the other side. Denver started the season absolutely dreadful. Like, they looked like they were going to be on the clock in, like, December. You know, they were going to be the number one overall pick running away with it before the season was even remotely done. They're 5-5 now. And they have some nice wins on their resume. Very, very impressive. So this game actually is going to be pretty fun. An elite defense and a defense trending in the right direction. As far as the Browns are concerned, though, moving the football with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he is dink and dunk central. 38 of his 41 passing attempts last week were under 10 air yards. He averages 5.8 air yards per attempt. That's a low number right there. That puts a cap on what Amari Cooper can do. Only wide receiver 40. He does like David Njoku, but the problem with Njoku is very similar to Evan Ingram. He doesn't score touchdowns. And if you don't believe me, go look at his stats over the course of his career. He doesn't score touchdowns. So he's only tight end 13. If I had to choose one running back here, it's Jerome Ford, but only as a flex play at RB28. It is a good matchup, yes, but they're using these guys close to 50-50 with him and Kareem Hunt. On the other side, well, here's where the Browns rank in terms of matchups. All right, for quarterback, they're 32. That's also known as the worst fantasy matchup. For running back, okay, it's 24, but still not good. At wide receiver, it's 31, and at tight end, it's 32. So, not a great week to roll with Denver Broncos skill guys. I have Javonte Williams. I mean, he's usable as an RB2, but he's down at RB18. Cortland Sutton all the way down at wide receiver 34. He does have 8 receiving touchdowns on the season, and that is the most we've seen from any Broncos player since 2014. Julius Thomas did it. Emmanuel Sanders did it. Demaryius Thomas did it. All in the same season, they went for 8+. Pretty wild there. Moving on to the Rams and Arizona Cardinals, and looky here, looky here. The Arizona Cardinals are favored 21.9 to 20.8 in my projections. And I believe them. I have the Cardinals winning this game. What a difference a quarterback makes, huh? Well, the same could be true, though, for the Rams because Stafford is under center. Cooper Kupp looks like he is going to play here, so he'll be a top 10 option. Puka Nacua more of like a top 15 option, but both are very usable, as is Kyren Williams. I have him at RB16, a fantastic matchup here. Arizona has been quite friendly to opposing running backs. And even though as of right this second he isn't activated technically, I haven't seen that news, I expect it to come today. If it doesn't come today, it'll come tomorrow. They moved Daryl Henderson basically they released him, but they signed him to the practice squad. So they basically moved him back to the practice squad. That was a telltale sign that they were very confident that Kyron would be active for this week. So he is in play for this one. On the other side, Kyler Murray running a lot better than I thought he was going to from the gate. I thought he was going to be more, you would have to rely on his arm, which that's why I had him more like quarterback 15-ish. No, he's top 10. If he can run, he's top 10. That's where a lot of that fantasy value over the course of his career has come from. Two rushing scores on the season. He only had three last year, by the way. He played 11 games last year, so really good there for Kyler. James Conner has been excellent this season. It didn't show up in the fantasy numbers the last 2 weeks, but he's been so stinking good. 3.64 yards after contact per attempt. That is third best in the NFL. He remains an RB2 play. It looks like Michael Wilson is out for this one. I'm taking a look at Marquise Brown. Let me see if I can get a practice report here. Sometimes it's tough, especially with these West Coast teams at this time of day. I usually record early afternoon on Fridays for this show. Right now, no, he's showing up just with yesterday's. So if you didn't see that, Marquise Brown went DNP after being limited on Wednesday. He's got a heel issue. So we'll keep a close eye on his status. If he doesn't go, believe it or not, the player I'm most interested in is Greg Dortch. The Dortch, man, he did pretty well last week. Trey McBride, a top five play. He's a lot of fun. And last week was kind of like his floor. Kansas City and the Raiders. Kansas City 27.7 to 17.7. A healthy cushion there. We're using the big three here for Kansas City. So Mahomes, Kelce, Pacheco. Pacheco is a really nice matchup here. I'm not going as far as using Rashee Rice. He's down at wide receiver 48 for me this week. Here's what I'm doing with this game. I'm going to keep a very close eye on Justin Watson's usage because, hey, on Monday night, he saw double-digit targets. If that happened just once, it's a one-off, okay, fine. If it happens again this week, or if we see like 8 or 9 targets for him, Justin Watson will have to be picked up for the stretch run. We'll talk about him in waivers, but we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The only thing I would do with Watson is use him in DFS this week. Josh Jacobs, RB12. He is averaging 3.3 yards per carry. That's the lowest number of any running back with at least 150 carries this season. It's not efficient, but he is getting the rock, and that's really what matters. That's what keeps him in back-end RB1 territory. The only other playable option is Devontae Adams. He connected with, Aiden O'Connell connected with him for the touchdown last week, but more importantly, 13 targets in that game. So he's still a top 10 play. Can't use Jakobi Meyers. Believe it or not, Jakobi Meyers was better off with Jimmy Garoppolo, as weird as that is. But Devontae Adams, I think, might be better off with Aiden O'Connell. Buffalo and Philly. I have Philly 25.7 to 23.5. On the Buffalo side, the matchup is great for Josh Allen. I don't care if he turns the ball over. Honestly, I mean, as a football fan, I would, but I don't care in fantasy. We're not going to get dinged that much. He's a Brett Favre type. You know, he's got that moxie, that gunslinger mentality, and it's going to happen. The matchup's good for Stephon Diggs. We should see him bounce back. Great for Dalton Kincaid. You can attack this team through the air. Gabe Davis. He is at wide receiver 44. It feels like we're due for a big Gabe Davis game. But your guess is as good as mine as to when that's going to occur. So here's how I'm handling it. I actually don't have any Gabe Davis on season-long teams. I didn't want to sign up for that ride. I knew what we were going to get with him. At this point, I think the book is officially written on him. This is the type of player he is. He's boom or bust. Any given week, he'd be a top 5 play, or he could be outside of the top 70. And there's really no in-between. So here's how I'm handling it. Because I do feel a big day brewing, whether it's this day, this game, or not. I'm using him in DFS. That's how I'm doing it. But he's so volatile for season long, and it's just so risky. Like, in most weeks, I know it just leads to frustration. On the other side, we're using the big four: Hurts, Brown, Swift, Smith, and actually, with no Dallas Goedert, it's really good for Devontae Smith. I think we'll see a stabilization of his volume. He has scored in 2 of his last 3 games. Oh, James Cook. I'm all the way down at RB32. I don't want to move on from this game before I talked about him. The Eagles are the worst fantasy matchup for opposing running backs, and we already have a little bit of a cap on James Cook as it is, so it's tough to trust him as anything more than a flex play this week. Baltimore and the Chargers, 25.7 to 22.3. I have the Ravens winning this one. it's a great matchup for Lamar Jackson. It's, you know, the Chargers have been giving up 300-yard games left and right, 316 net passing yards per game allowed, second most fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks. Zay Flowers popped up on the injury report this week, got limited work in on Wednesday, and I thought, okay, oh no, he was DNP on Thursday. So we'll have to keep an eye on his practice status. I don't have a Friday report for him either. If it's limited, I'll feel pretty good about it. If it's DNP, we have some very, very real concerns. If he doesn't go, Odell will move up into the top 25. Because remember, no Mark Andrews. How could we forget? And Odell really emerged as one of the better targets last week for Lamar Jackson. So that would really help him. Isaiah likely will step in for Mark Andrews, but I've said this already this week. I view him more as a streamer option. I'm not going to get too crazy with him. He is at tight end 14, so his ranking, I don't think, has moved from Wednesday. If I picked him up, I'm hoping that I'm a little bit wrong, and he's more of a plug and, you know, plug and play, set and forget type of guy. But I don't see that happening just yet. The backfield. So Gus Edwards does have 10 rushing touchdowns this season. He has 9 in the last 5 games, by the way. But Keaton Mitchell's still there. And we saw the volume increase. So here's what I'm doing. Edwards, very minimal ceiling. Like he's touchdown dependent at this point. He's only averaging 4.2 yards per carry. So he comes in at RB30. Keaton Mitchell, much, 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 much lower floor, but a higher ceiling by far, even with limited work. So he's at RB35. We could potentially flex him in this game, and this game could be relatively high scoring. On the other side, it is a tough matchup. There's no doubt about it for the Baltimore Ravens. So really the only two usable options for me this week are Eckler and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is having such a great season. I mean, I have Justin Herbert at quarterback 14. Now, there's a pretty good chance if you have him that you don't have another option who's ranked ahead of him. So you just use him. You just start him. But I understand some people may want to move off of him this week in this matchup. I'm not going to talk you out of it one way or the other, but I'm just going to tell you I do have him in a very poor matchup at quarterback 14. All right, Chicago, Minnesota to round this thing out. Minnesota 23.4 to 20.6. I honestly don't know if Justin Jefferson is going to play. He has not given us an answer one way or the other. And all I know is he was limited on Thursday, and he has still not been activated off of injured reserve. He could be activated off of injured reserve and not play, by the way. Like, he could still be declared out. You know, that is very possible. So if he's activated, that it doesn't necessarily guarantee he's going to play. If he plays, obviously we're going to use him for fantasy purposes. I just don't think we see him until week 14 because their bye is next week, let's not forget. So if he's not on the field, then of course we have, you know, Jordan Addison remaining as a wide receiver 3. Josh Dobbs is very usable as a top 12 option. He's a sneaky good running quarterback. I did not think he was this good, but he's scoring rushing touchdowns left and right, for especially in his time here with Minnesota. Hockenson, elite, tight end 2. Madison Chandler. Okay, Madison is seeing more snaps. Last week he saw 64% of the offensive snaps, 30% for Chandler. He is the better option, but Chandler's still usable because of his role in the passing game. Alexander Mattison, RB29. Ty Chandler, RB36. So he's right there. He's in the back end of flex territory. On the other side, Justin Fields is very good for DJ Moore. So in games with Justin Fields, DJ Moore averages 96.7 receiving yards per game. He has 6 touchdowns in 7 games. Now, granted, that Commanders game kind of padded the numbers a little, but by the same token, the moral of the story here is pretty simple. He's very good when Fields is on the field. When Tyson Bagent is on the field in those 4 games, 52.8 receiving yards per game, no touchdowns. Thankfully, Justin Fields is on the field. He's obviously a top 10 play. Fields is. DJ Moore, wide receiver 14 this week. Now, the backfield we have to keep an eye on. All I have is a Thursday practice report for this team. Oh, wait. No, actually, I do have a Friday report. Okay, here we go. That's great. This just came in. Deontay Foreman, DNP on Thursday, limited on Friday, trending towards getting back on the field. He had the ankle issue knock him out of last week's game. By no means does limited mean he's going to play. But if he does play, I think it's very risky to use Khalil Herbert or Foreman this week. It's not a good matchup. and we don't know exactly how the touches will be distributed, and they're still going to use Roschon Johnson as well. So the usable options here, you would have Fields, obviously. You have DJ Moore, obviously, and Cole Kmet. He is the top streamer for me this week. He comes in at tight end 10 for the week. All right, there's the preview. Week 12, man. On Monday, I'll come back. I will unpack it all. We'll talk about the biggest takeaways, and we'll, you know, some early thoughts on the waiver wire and all that. In the meantime, do me a favor. Go check out FTNFantasy.com. Promo code GRAVY will get you 40% off on any FTN subscription. This is a Black Friday slash, you know, straight on through. I think it goes through Cyber Monday special, this promo code. Then it will go away. We never go this much, so we're hitting it hard this year for the big sales season. Promo code GRAVY, any of the FTN subscriptions on any of our sites. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.